Jesus shows up for dinner, and what does he do? First, he offers a critique of the behavior of his fellow guests, and then he offers a critique of the behavior of his host. In doing so, he turns conventional wisdom on its head, and he challenges the presumptions and the protocols of his day and of our day. When you arrive as a guest at a banquet, do not take the seat of honor. Instead, take the seat of lowest regard. Do not invite your friends or your relatives or your rich neighbors to dinner. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to sit down at your table. In his first instruction, Jesus is encouraging the guests at the dinner and through them us to resist the calculations of this world by which we have been taught to see ourselves as entitled to a seat of prominence, to relinquish the notion that we must make sure that we get the recognition that we deserve. So Jesus tells his fellow guests, when you are invited to a banquet, don't take the seat of honor because you might be moved down to a seat of lower regard. Instead, take the lowest seat so that you might be moved up. So one of the challenges of this teaching is that we are clever people. And so we can just as easily turn the seat of lowest regard into the seat of honor. If the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, then we can find ourselves vying for the last place in line for the seat of lowest regard out of a cynical assessment that this will get us where we actually want to be. But that type of calculation is self-defeating because it thwarts the purpose of the teaching. Jesus is challenging the very notion that we can successfully strategize for our own self-exaltation. If our aim is to exalt ourselves, then we will fail, at least with respect to those things that ultimately matter. There is only one source of meaningful exaltation, and that is God, the host who has invited all of us to his table. Jesus is, through this teaching, giving us a preview of the kingdom of God. He's trying to teach us about kingdom ethics, about how we are to behave if we want to find ourselves at home at God's heavenly banquet. And if we understand that the banquet to which we have been invited is God's banquet, that God is the host, then that should affect our approach to seating at the table. At the heavenly banquet, if it is truly heavenly, we do not approach the table concerned about our reputation, desiring a seat of prominence. Instead, we find ourselves at a table in a banquet hall that is beyond anything that we could ever imagine, beyond anything that we could deserve, beyond anything that to which we could claim entitlement. And so on that day, we are humbled. We are humbled to be before the throne of God, the throne of the Almighty. And so we rush to the lowest seat. We understand that we are blessed beyond measure to be in his presence, that the lowest seat at God's table is of more honor than we could ever merit. And as Jesus teaches us, as we take that seat, we will be surprised by a beautiful sound, the voice of our Creator saying to us, "Friend, move up higher." The only exaltation that matters, the only exaltation that is true, is an exaltation through the invitation of the Almighty. Despite all of our best or worst efforts, we are not able to exalt ourselves. Only God can gift that. And if we can imagine a natural impulse to rush to the lowest seat at God's banquet table, then we can begin to imagine how Jesus is calling us to live now. As followers of Christ, members of His church, we are to bear witness to the inbreaking of God's kingdom into this world. And so, if we are to follow Jesus faithfully, we rush to the seat of lowest regard here and now, not out of a calculation, but because we know that self-exaltation is based on a lie. Our misguided attempts to exalt ourselves will only serve to separate us from God and from each other. And so we hope to humble ourselves because humility is the proper response to God's undeserved grace. And once we understand humility as a grateful response to God's invitation to the table rather than a clever strategy for self-promotion, we can better understand Jesus' instruction to the host in the second part of this gospel passage. Jesus encourages the host to revise his invitation list. Instead of inviting his friends, his family, and his rich neighbors, all of whom could repay him for the invitation, the host should invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to the table. God has invited us to His table, to His great banquet, and we can never repay God for that invitation. Inspired by God's grace, we should likewise invite those who can never repay us to our table. We should make sure that we don't limit ourselves, our loves, our concerns, our attention to those who can care for us in return. Instead, we must broaden the circle of our affection. Jesus is instructing us to be in community, to sit at the same table with those who by worldly calculations would not appear to be able to reciprocate our hospitality. This is not merely an instruction to give food to the poor, the disadvantaged, and the outcast. It is an instruction to get to know them, to sit down with them, to break bread together with those who would appear to be in no position to host us in return. And one of the many blessings of being here at St. Andrew's is that there are very specific opportunities that we have here to do just that. You can talk to Tim Henry, who leads our group, our ministry, Feed Thy Neighbor, or any of the number of parishioners that volunteer with Feed Thy Neighbor, to find out how you can serve the hungry around us, get to know those who show up weekly on Saturday mornings for food and fellowship. You can sit down at a table with someone and learn about who they are and what has brought them to this point. You can talk with Sarah Conrad or Rusty Enfinger, who lead our mission and outreach committee, or any of the other parishioners who have volunteered with Rebuild Upstate, and find out how you might help with repair and upgrading a home, and in the process, get to know the people that live in that home. Learn about their lives and struggles. Learn their names. And be in fellowship with them as you help them to live where they have lived. You can ask Aaron Culbertson and J.J. Andrighetti how you can get involved with United Ministries Transformation Walk in early October so that we can continue to support and raise money for the vital ministry of United Ministries. You can bring food or personal hygiene products here next Sunday for Second Sunday Harvest, which also supports United Ministries. And you can take a step that doesn't require signing up for anything here at St. Andrews. You can just look around. Look around at work. Look around in your neighborhood. Look around in the streets that border your neighborhood, in your classroom at school. Look for those who are suffering, who are lonely, who are disadvantaged, and find a way to make their lives a part of your life. Because when we do this, when we broaden the circles of our affection, when we broaden our invitation, we model the radical hospitality of God. The radical hospitality that God has offered us at this table and at his heavenly table in heaven. Thereby we do what we are called to do. We show the world what God's kingdom will look like.